we remember Andy Griffith, an American icon.
We'll have no need to call the road when we get to the vision hole. There'll be you, me, and old dog Trey to do the time away. If we don't hook a perch or bass, we'll cool our toes in dewy grass, or else down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
This is Boston Red. Andrew Samuel Griffith was born June 1st, 1926, and he died July the 3rd, 2012. He was best known for his work in The Andy Griffith Show. Prior to that, he was a gospel singer. He won two Tony Awards, and he was in a film called A Face in the Crowd. That was 1957. The Andy Griffith Show ran 1960 and 1968. We'll hear a little bit of that from an interview that he and Don Knox, the late Don Knox, gave on the Today Show. Then Andy Griffith reappeared in 1986 to 1995 as Medlock. This was only a part of Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith was active in the Democratic Party, and he was also active in the Democratic Party in North Carolina. He supported Beverly Perdue, the current governor, and he also had at one time anticipated a run for the U.S. Senate there in North Carolina. He died on the 3rd on his beloved Roanoke Island in North Carolina at about 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And he was buried at about 11:30 Eastern Time on the same day. At request of the family, it had been planned for some time. He was 86 years old. And we have here a statement from the President, Barack Obama. Michelle and I were very sad to hear about the passing of Andy Griffith this morning. A performer of excellent, extraordinary talent, Andy was beloved by generations of fans, revered by entertainers who followed in his footsteps. He brought us a character from Sheriff Andy Taylor to Ben Madlock, and in the process warmed the hearts of Americans everywhere. Our thoughts and prayers are with Andy's family. Barack Obama. We thought it was fitting and proper that we have this special presentation to Andy Griffith. Will be hosted by Jerry Pippin, produced by the legend of Johnstown, PA, Doc Holliday.
Decades, and this morning we are thrilled setting for a homespun comedy which aired for 8 years beginning in 1960. Sheriff Andy Taylor was a widower with a young son named Opie. They lived with Andy's Aunt Bee, while Barney Fife served as the, I guess I can say it, inept deputy sheriff. The show charmed the nation with stories of love, hope, and decency in a small town. And once in a while, they even did some police work.
Town smart, Alex. I'm throwing the book at it. Overtime parking, causing a nuisance, no driver's license.
Bank robbery,
no registration. Just an arrest. Bank robbery.
Andy Griffith, Don Knotts, great to have you here on today. Well, when you look back at the show, one thing that's very obvious is this is a time that in many places around this country has gone by, and life was not, in that small town, is not the way it is today. Tell me about Mayberry. What was it like?
Well, though we never said it, and though it was shot in the 60s, it had a feeling of the 30s. It was when we were doing it, of a time gone by. And we were very careful to keep our characters always very pure. If a joke made a lie out of the character, we'd lose the joke.
Yeah, Andy used to say, if it sounds like a joke, throw it out.
You two were cops, obviously, but very few major crimes ever really took place in Mayberry. Did they?
No, they didn't.
No, you'd have some stills that had to be broken up. And
Andy Griffith and Don Knotts were friends off camera as well as on camera. Andy Griffith shows the compassion and the sadness when he talks about the passing of his dear friend Don Knotts.
Thank you. It's it's a difficult time. As you just said, I lost my best friend. I was with him just before he died, and he was kind of unconscious. I know that he could hear me, but we all believe he heard my voice. I told him I loved him, and I told him, I said, his first name was Jess. He hated that name, but he told me it once, and so I couldn't help but call him Jesse. I said, Jess, breathe. You got to make this. You got to pull through. Breathe. And you know, I saw his chest heave. And I said, that's a boy. Just keep breathing. Keep breathing. And his shoulder moved. So I believe he heard my voice.
Well, Andy, our condolences. I know you met him in 1955 on Broadway. You had actually heard his voice on his radio show before that. And then, of course, famously, you cast him to be your deputy on Andy Griffith. What was it about him that made you think he was perfect for that role?
Well, we became friends during the play No Time for Sergeants. And that is when I met him. I heard his voice, the old man's voice of Wendy Wales on a show called Bobby Benson of the BVRB. And the second rehearsal, I said, excuse me, aren't you Wendy Wales? And he said, yes, and we became friends. And, you know, time went by, and I didn't see him for a while because I was on Broadway again in a play called Destry. And he was on Steve Allen on the West Coast. And then the pilot for the old Griffith show came on the air during that year, I guess, about late 1959, early 1960. And Don called me. I was in North Carolina when the show came on. Don called me and said, don't you need a deputy? I said, I didn't know you were out of work. Call Sheldon. That's Sheldon Leonard.
Right.
And he did, and Sheldon hired him, and it turned our show around.
He was so amazing, Andy. He had such a wonderful, first of all, ability to perform physical comedy. And the nervous character, the high-strung character, always willing to make fun of himself. Really, it was such a wonderful partnership between the two of you.
Everything we did came out of our friendship. I see the goat. We would sit and work on script every Thursday. And when we very first started, when Don had an idea, he would whisper it to me and I would vocalize it. But then after a little while, he would just say his ideas. He was a very good writer.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that, Andy, that he really contributed to the writing part of the show.
Oh, yes, he did. We both did. Neither one of us had a writing card at that time. But we wrote anyway. We wrote because of love. We wrote because we wanted to make what we were doing as good as we could. And we apparently did.
I mentioned, Andy, that he played these high-strung nervous types, either as Barney Fife or as Ralph Furley. Was he at all like that off screen?
No. Not at all. He was very much in control of himself. Don was an extraordinarily bright man. He knew life. He knew how to get around. He had a great admiration of women. And he wound up with a good one.
Yeah.
His wife, Francie Yarborough Knotts. She was very good to him.
7 TV series, 5 Emmy Awards, 25 movies. I'll never forget The Incredible Mr. Limpin. I mean, did he ever think about how was his emotional state before he got very ill?
Fine. Don, at the last, I guess you know that all actors are like this. When something goes wrong with us, we don't want anybody to know. When I had my heart operation, I went in the hospital with a different name, and nobody knew that I was sick. And Don didn't want anybody to know that he was having trouble with his lungs. And they didn't. We kept it, or he kept it a secret, even from me, for a long time.
Andy, just in closing, how do you think he'd want to be remembered?
As a lovely, funny man who wanted people to laugh and wanted people to enjoy life.
Well, Andy Griffith, it's painfully obvious that a piece of you is missing this morning, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And our condolences
it's
again.
A great, thank you. It's a great pleasure to honor the life of Don Knotts.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith with Ronnie Howard. Also starring Don Knotts.
And this is Jerry Pippen with a few words about the symbolism and the passing of Andy Griffith and the American birthday, the 4th of July. It's a symbolism that cannot go unmentioned, in my opinion. Andy Griffith's show was all about American dreams, American values, the simple life, the life of rural Americans. And it struck a chord with everyone. I mean, after all, it ran for 35 years in reruns. The 8 years it was on television, it was always in the top 10, usually in the first or second place. And it was more than just a sitcom. Andy Griffith at one time was asked about what was the secret of that show. And he said it was a four-letter word, love, L-O-V-E. In other words, people loved each other on that show. There was no hate, no animosity. It was always in good fun. And the people had respect and love for one another. And perhaps he's right. There's nothing like the Mayberry series because it was about American values. American, if you'd like to say, the American dream. And the fact is, it was like mom and apple pie and waving the flag and the 4th of July. And the symbolism, Andy Griffith passes away hours before the birthday of America. Does that mean that the American dream is dying, as many people say? Or do we still have hope? Do we still have a people in this country that care for one another and care for humanity around the world? Sometimes one wonders. You know, some people say we're in for a shift in attitudes and a change with the end of 2012. They may be right, they may not be right. But I do think perhaps people are beginning to begin to think about the true values of America. And the true values of America is not just making a lot of money, even though that, of course, the American success has always been a dream for everyone. And no one really wants that to end. But have we lost our way? And maybe we're worshiping the financial success and the real goods of life, like a nice house, a nice car. Of course we all need that. But maybe we're going to start thinking about taking care of each other in a loving and I don't want to say a starry-eyed way, but a way that we all respect each other as human beings. You know, the American dream has always been that anyone could succeed. No one group would be held back. And we've made a lot of progress in this over the years. But sometimes it seems like we stumbled and tripped and fallen and lost our way. But have we? I say on this 4th of July, 2012, we haven't. That the American ethic will continue. That the American ideal of everyone having a better generation after generation after generation. In other words, your children and your children's children will have a better life than ye. Well, now it suddenly has appeared that maybe this is not going to continue. But I submit to you that we as American people with our background of this great country and the idealism that we've had about it, will continue. And the American people, you and me and all of us, the 300 million strong, will continue to push for a life for everyone around the world, for humanity, that it will succeed and we'll all begin to live together in harmony. Is this a dream, or is a nightmare going to be that we're going to turn toward each other and inward and face fear and violence? It's something to think about on this 4th of July, 2012. But I want to close with this statement. America, we have confidence that you will continue with the idealism that was started back by our founding fathers in 1776. America the beautiful. America, as Ronald Reagan said, the shining mansion on the hill. America will move forward, and progress, and people will continue to live in harmony. Is it a dream that will never come true? I submit to you, no. It is the American dream, and it will become a reality in the 21st century, just as it has been in our previous years of history. Happy birthday, Uncle Sam.
Liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. Something like this. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grace. Just is. I love you.
because my God done shed his grace on thee. And you ought to love him for it, because he crowned my good. He told me he would save his brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Shining sea.
Oh, no. I'd love to say something about the next one. We'll be right back.